Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. If you would stand up, we're going to take our regular hymn books right now and turn to page 55. Please stand. Page 55 in our regular hymn books. Here in a little bit, we'll be picking up our missions book that we've been singing out of and sing one out of there. But right now, let's sing At the Cross.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Let's sing the second and then the last on the second.
Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond thee. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy for the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. Well, it's good to see you this morning.
Trust you've had a good time in the services already. And it's sure great to be here, not in our name, not in the name of a church, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and the Lord of lords. Of course, this is the culmination of our missions conference today, and it's been a terrific week. I've enjoyed our time thoroughly. I don't know when I've had a greater working in my own heart for the cause of Christ in missions than this week. Every message has been very challenging and encouraging at the same time. The missions presentations were terrific, and just thankful to God for what He's been doing in our lives and in our church. What we want to do right now is to show our appreciation and our thanks to each other. To welcome each other in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you move about, you see some visitors, please express to them how excited, how grateful that God has led them our way today. Let's do that right now.
If you'd remain standing and grab a hymn book again, we're going to turn to page. I'm sorry. This is time to get this hymn book out. So if you'll get your hymnbook out that we've been using for the missions conference, turn to page 12. And that song is to the tune of We're Marching to Zion. Come ye that love the Lord. I hope that's you today. I hope you love the Lord like we should. Come ye that love the Lord, and let God's word be known. Involve your life to preach God's word. Involve your life to preach God's word. And so make Jesus known. And so make Jesus known. We're spreading the gospel. Telling the gospel of Jesus. We're telling the gospel of Jesus as we've been commanded to do. All right, let's sing the last verse. Then go out everywhere and let the lost ones know that Jesus paid redemption's price. That Jesus paid redemption's price. Because He loves them so. Because He loves them so. We're spreading the gospel. Telling the gospel of Jesus. We're telling the gospel of Jesus. As we've been commanded to do. Amen. You may be seated.
I have heard my need.
here I am. I hope you can say that today. Let's turn to 145. Please stand once more. And what I'd like to do is if we can sing the third verse first on this song. And the reason I do that is our choir normally comes down after the first verse, and we usually don't sing third verses a lot of times. But there is a very important message to this third verse of I Love to Tell a Story. It's a mission verse. I hope you listen to those words today. On the third,
I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat. What seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and His love.
Now let's sing the first and then the last.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and His love.
Let's sing the last verse and we'll have the instruments drop out on the chorus, all right?
I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when it seems a glory, I sing the new song. 'Twill be the old story that I have loved so long.
Sing it out.
I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and His love.
Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. Just a few announcements. And I tell you what, while I'm making these announcements, gentlemen, if y'all come forward and get ready for this morning's offering, just a reminder, today, after this morning service, we will be having our international dinner. I look forward to these international ones. We don't provide a meat, so to speak, so everybody brings their best. Everybody stay, please. We have enough for everybody. And there will be some Rolaids in the far corner somewhere. This Saturday, we will be taking youth to a youth rally. That is marked in the going to be at Calvary Baptist down in Cleveland, Texas. Please pray for us when we're down and back. Next Sunday, daylight savings time. Set your clock back or be early for Sunday school. Ladies' brunch is going to be on the 5th, and as usual place, such a Cracker Barrel, and as usual, there will be a spot for the men to sit and eat on a separate table. The men will be eating, the ladies, well, never mind, not going there. Ladies' brunch the ladies' fellowship for November, due to Thanksgiving, will be on the 8th. And pastor's class is having their activity on the 10th, and the usual list of events through the week is listed on the right-hand side. So let's pray and we'll do the offering. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful week we've had, Lord. Lord, I know we're not finished yet. We still got more. And Lord, don't let today be the last day. Let it continue to grow and build. Lord, right now I want to ask to be with Brother Wayne, hide him behind the cross. Lord, give him power on high today, Lord. Lord, right now I ask him to be with this offering about to receive, be with the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
It all starts with just one voice that takes a stand, that makes a choice to live for God and not hesitate to tell the world about amazing grace.
One day that seed somehow breaks through. Where there was one, there now stands two. And soon another takes his hand. A ray of hope that spreads across the land.
Across the sea, soon others join in harmony. They found the cross still standing strong. And soon a mighty chorus sings along. Go reach the world, touch one more soul. Bring one more lamb back to the fold. Each soul another flag unfurls. Each voice another chance to reach the world. Don't let me pray, Lord, fame, or a spark that sets the world aflame. But help me reach the lost and alone, to tell of joy and hope where hope is gone. Go reach the world, touch one more soul, bring one more lamb back to the fold, to the fold. Each soul another flag unfurled, each voice another chance to reach the world.
I wasn't going to do this, Brother Rowan, but God's impressed me while I was sitting there listening to that song. I'd like to hear a little bit about what God's laid on your heart for Little Elm, Texas. And I know these missionaries, they're ready any time to talk about what the burden is on their heart. And going to appreciate this young man, and I want you to meet him as well.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Take about 5 minutes, if you would.
Okay.
You need help?
No, sir. I think I
you
got
go
it.
Ahead. You do that. Brother Dustin has got an illustration for us, I think, here. He's going to wave the flag, and that's all right. Amen. With me.
Yes, sir. Hey, man, I'm going to take five minutes.
I'm kind of a flag waver myself, so that's
yes,
all right.
Hey, man, I'll be real quick. My name is Dustin Round. We are home missionaries to America. We're in Little Elm, Texas, and I believe in this great country. I believe that this great country is the greatest country in the world. And without this great country and mission-minded churches just like this, missionaries to Africa, missionaries to Thailand, missionaries all over the world are going to start losing support. The way the church in America goes will reflect the way the churches overseas goes. You say, what privilege do you have to hold this American flag? I have much the same privilege as you because I am an American citizen. This banner needs to be waved all across the world. But also, one just step deeper, this banner is a reflection of Jesus Christ. You see those 13 stripes? There's 7 that are red. There's 6 that is white. There's a blue box and 50 stars. The 7 that are red, 7 in the Bible, is representative of God. The blood that Jesus Christ, God Himself, Emmanuel, shed for the sins of the world. The white one is 6. And the Bible is the number of man. Every man needs to hear the gospel. Every man needs to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The blue box is representative of heaven. They are not going to get into heaven unless they hear the gospel. They are not going to get into the heaven unless they are justified before God Almighty without repentant faith and turning to Jesus Christ. You see those blue stars? I'm sorry, the white stars. 50 days after Jesus Christ died on the cross was the day of Pentecost. 50. Those are representative of the Holy Spirit of God filled in the child of God that the American people will take fruit in. That is our fruit in heaven. You say, what involvement can we have? You can go, or you could just start where you're at. The Lord has called us to the American people. The Lord has called us to Little Elm, Texas, and we're going to do exactly what the Lord has called us to do. Thank you, Pastor.
Well, I'm glad I obeyed the Lord in that. Amen. Amen. We appreciate Dustin. He's sent out of Kings Highway Baptist Church right here in Fort Worth, Texas. So you pray for them as they are raising support to go up just up the road a ways, try to plant a church in an area, a growing area there in Little Elm. Well, Brother Hudson hates it when you brag on him, and I'm not going to brag on him. I'm going to brag on a God that has been pleased to give us a word through a faithful servant this week. So you, once again, you please pray for Brother Hudson as he comes, brother.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Bless you. Well, I kind of hate to see this end. We've had a great few days. It's not so great because of the preaching, but it's been so great because of meeting with the Lord. Yeah. We've really met with the Lord. And I met Brother Dustin a couple of years ago. He's got where he shows up a lot of times when I'm there. Brother Dustin, me and Colton made a covenant yesterday, and we've got it figured out. Brother Curtis hadn't got in on it yet, but we're going to let him in on it. We're figuring on being there to help you knock doors and put out flyers and get started over there in Little Elm, Texas. I know that's right up Brother Curtis' alley. So we'll have a crowd from Metropolitan to help you one of these days. God has really stirred my heart this morning. I preached what I'm going to preach. I usually preach it at least once in every mission conference that I preach in. I preached it to you in various ways in days past. You can take your Bible, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. The most comprehensive teaching in the New Testament on giving is in those two chapters. But God has just shined a new light on it for me this week that I've even preached the message that I'll preach this morning, but I never preached it with the burden that I have this morning. When you come to this passage, Paul doesn't talk about money. And he never talks about money when it comes to giving. But he does talk about grace, and he really emphasizes it through these chapters. I want to preach this morning on the grace of giving, and I hope I can convey to you what God has put in my heart out of these passages. You know, we got saved by grace. Hey, if you're here outside of the grace of God this morning, let me say, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm going to be preaching on giving. I don't want to leave you out, and I certainly don't want you to miss the grace of God. I don't want you to be standing on the outside when we circle up around the throne in heaven. I want you to be there. I want you to be there in eternity. I want you to know heaven. I want you to know the good grace of God for your life as we go through day by day. So bear with me this morning, and I hope that you'll give your heart to what we're going to say. I don't think I'm going to read a text, but I want to skip down through these verses. He says in verse number 1 of chapter 8, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." He's going to have much to say about those churches of the northernmost part of the Greek Empire. We call it Turkey or up in that area now. But he's going to have a lot to say about them. Let me just say before I ever start, it's not about them. It's about the grace of God in them. Hey, if I read our missions statement, our missions, whatever you call it, publication this week, and found out that this church had given $130,000 to missions last year. You know, it's not this church. It is the grace of God in this church. He said, I want you to with the grace of God bestowed. He's not talking about Macedonia. He's talking about God. He's talking about the grace of God, the work of God that only God can do. And I'll try to get to that in a minute. Verse number 6 says, insomuch that we desired Titus that he, and as he had begun, he would finish in you this same grace also. I'm here this morning as a messenger. He talked about 50 stars. Over there in Revelations, he said the stars are the messengers to the church. I'm here as a messenger to this church. I love this church. I was thinking about this message. It's a message directed to this church. You may not be a part of this church. If you can get in on it, hallelujah. But the message is to this church. He said, Titus came to finish in you this same grace also. Hey, this whole meeting this week has been a meeting to let God's grace be demonstrated and instilled and improved and directed in our lives. That's all it's about. You can keep your money if you're hung up on your money. Paul doesn't ever talk about money. Paul talks about grace or gift or bounty or communication. Or he says it a lot of different ways, but he never said, I want your money. I want to say God doesn't want your money. You can. I was going to start with an illustration. I've told it here before, but I believe I'll just tell it again. My introduction to missions, we had been in a group of churches where you never saw missionaries. We talked about missions, and we sent money to somewhere to missions, and we had lessons on missions, but we didn't know missionaries. And one year I asked my pastor, I had a friend out at work and had a friend in Mexico who was a missionary, and he was going to be at their church. I said, what do you think about us having him on Sunday night while he's here? Well, I was on the deacon board, and it was a deacon-run church. That's wrong. So he listened to me, and we invited a missionary. And Sihifredo was here all week. He was that kind of missionary. He couldn't speak too good of English. He was just trying to get it done.
Right. Amen.
And so I told my friend that we wanted to have him at our church, and I said, just tell him to come over and we'll fix lunch for him and have him at our house. At our plant, when you worked overtime, they gave you meal tickets. I cashed in my meal tickets and stuck them in the back of my billfold. I called it my rat hole. It was dedicated to what you guys did yesterday. Guns and shooting and deer hunting, and that was my hunting money. And it was deep down in there where the sun didn't shine. Susie didn't know how much was in there. She might have known, but it was in a dark hole. We had that little missionary come driving up. He drove up in an old Ford station wagon. He looked like it looked like it was the leftovers of the Grapes of Wrath. I mean, there was stuff in it and on it, It was tied all over it. I took him out that afternoon. God began to say, do something for that man. Do something for that man. And the very first time he said it, he said, you remember your rat hole? I'll be honest with you. In my family, Susie is the giver. If you were in need and if you went to her, she'd give you the last shirt on my back. But I'm not the giver. I'm the keeper. I know that American history says that the Great Depression was over in the 30s. I wasn't even living in the 30s, but I lived in the Great Depression in the 40s and the 50s, early 50s, in the state of Texas. The Dust Bowl was still on up there, and it was a bare, barren time. If you got something, you kept it. Susie and I had to do the job of getting rid of my folks' stuff after they were gone. You know, had a lady from the out there where I worked. She wanted to come and look at our antiques. I said, it's not really antiques. She didn't believe me until she walked through it. One of the most heartbreaking things that I ever went through was that disposing of the treasures that they had treasured and kept and gathered up that were nothing that anybody would want. They were just junk to most people. But they were what they valued. I lived in that. I went to work in the oil field. My dad signed a work permit. I went to work in the oil field when I was 15 so I could buy breeches to go to school. That's what I lived in. Those meal tickets were very special. Susie and I we'd never even taken Christmas gifts. We always gave our Christmas money to our kids' gifts. But I had a rat hole. That raggedy old car, the missionary showed up all afternoon. I went out to my shop and I gave him some tools and I gave him some materials. And I felt good about that, but it didn't satisfy. All through the service that night, as he preached, God kept saying, remember that rat hole? And I kept saying, I've already given him tools. I've already given him, we're going to give him a check from the church. And I kept making excuses in my mind. Before the day was over, we fell at family. That's what happens. We got out on the church parking lot after the fellowship that night. And he cranked up that old Ford, and it was missing on two or three cylinders. And he was limping out of the parking lot. He had already started moving. And God said, this is your last chance. And I said, wait a minute, brother. I dug out my billfold way down in the back, down in there, and pulled out a $100 bill and handed it to him. I had never done that in my life. I'd paid my tithes, but I had never given an offering. I didn't know what it was to give an offering. As he limped out of the parking lot, I had such a peace and joy in my heart that I've never known before. You say it's just $100. It was a life changer. God did something. Hey, the grace of God did something in my heart that night. That's been 40 years ago, and I haven't got over it since. So, Paul said, we don't need your money. We need your heart. And God's grace is sufficient if you just give Him your heart. We're talking about faith, promise. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, if you're going to get living grace and giving grace and going on grace, you're going to have to exercise faith all over again. I didn't get through reading all my verses. Verse number 7 says, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all in diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Down in verse number 19, and not that only, I'm breaking context. Not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace. He's talking about the offering that is being gathered for the church in Jerusalem when he says this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. When he said when we get over there, when we distribute that offering, it's not our offering, it's the grace of God. But it's not just the grace of God, it is a declaration of your ready mind. What you are willing to do. Down in verse number, chapter 9, verse 8, he said, and God, here's a blank check, Christian. Sometimes we talk about Philippians 4:19 as a blank check. That my God is able to supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, if you'll go to Philippians chapter 4 and get it in context, that verse is given to grace givers. Those who have supported Paul on a mission field. That's who the verse is. Listen to this verse. Here's your blank check this morning. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. I don't know if I'm going to get to preach or not. Yesterday I went to see Joe Addington. We were all alone in the room. He said, Brother Wayne, I've told him to unhook all this junk, and I'm going to trust God. What do you say? I said, well, Brother Joe, how do you feel about it? He said, well, took him a while to get it all out. He said, well, I've preached about it all these years. And he said, I don't just want to preach it, I want to practice it.
Yes, sir.
But he said, truthfully, there's a lot of mixed feelings. Think about it. When you can only last about a week without that dilation if your kidneys fail. Think about it. You can only get so low in blood count before your heart stops. He's losing blood every day. But he said, I want to please Him. And he said, I believe He'll give me grace for that moment. Don't you, Brother Wayne? My mind went to Tom Hayes, a friend of mine, wrote that song, New Grace. He said, I've had grace for every hour. I've had His grace for every need of power. I've had grace for every trial. I've had grace for every mile. But there's coming a day when I'll need new grace that I have not needed before. Friend, you're headed down that road. If somebody said, well, I'm saved. I was saved back there. Yeah, but you're going to face over here. And when you get there, you're going to need the grace of God. The only substance that will hold you in that hour that Joe's in right now is the grace of Almighty God. And you better hope you've got grace. Here's a blank check. I'm not talking about money. God is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now, I know you've heard somebody preach that you get to give, you get to give, you get to give. That's not it at all. You give, God gives. And you'll be surprised that when you get to a point you can't give, God still gives. And that's really what I'm going to say this morning, if I can ever get to it. R.G. Letourneau, some of you are familiar with his story, Longview, Texas, one of the great Christians of a generation past, who gave 10%, 20%, 30%, 50%, 90%, and finally 100% of his business. He built those big heavy equipment, that stuff they sell over here across the street, wherever it's at, and those earth movers and bulldozers. He built all that kind of stuff. And God prospered him. He had a business few people have ever had in the state of Texas. As I read his story, I read this. A young man said to Brother Letourneau, "If I were as rich as you, I would give like you." Here's what R.G. Letourneau said to that young guy. "Son, you'll never be as rich as me because you don't give like me." F.B. Meyer said, we talk about spiritual gifts, and I'm going to talk about them a little bit, but he said the grace of liberality is as much a gift of God as faith or utterance or knowledge or love. And that's the truth off the page of the book, in case I don't get there. If you want to, so I want to talk a little bit about spiritual gifts. There's four lists of spiritual gifts in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter chapter 4. In those four instances of spiritual gift lists, the theologians say that there's 17 to 21 gifts listed in those lists. There is the temporary sign gifts. There are the supervisory gifts. There are the service gifts. And some of you have been through those classes, and you know that every Christian has at least one gift. God wouldn't put you in this church if you couldn't do something in this church to further the kingdom of God. God wouldn't leave you here after He saved you if He didn't have a work for you to do. He didn't save you to sit on a pew. He didn't save you to just hear the preacher. He saved you to give of your gift in service to the Lord. So I just want to go to one place over in Romans chapter 12. I'm only going to look at just a portion of one of the places that he mentions these gifts. You know Romans chapter 12. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That'd make a good mission conference message, wouldn't it? Just preach down through those two verses. Verse 3 says, "For I say," listen to this, "through the grace given to me, to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." The fallacy of the charismatic movement is this, that I've got a gift that you don't have, and that makes me better in the service of God than you are. That's wrong. Jesus said, if you're going to be exalted, you're going to be brought down. God said, if you will humble yourself, then you can draw near to me. If you will humble yourself, then I will exalt you. So he said, don't think more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly, listen, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And he begins down in verse, he begins to compare the church to the body, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6. He said, since we're all a body and every part of the body is a member, having then gifts differing according, listen, to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy or ministry or teaching or exhortation, verse 8, and he that giveth, let it do it with his simplicity. He's going to go on to talk about ruling and mercy and cheerfulness. In the middle of all the gifts is the gift of giving. I would say that R.G. Letourneau had a gift of giving. I remember as a boy when his vice president preached a revival at our church. I'll never forget his theme verse was Jeremiah 33:3, call unto the Lord. And he will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. After I was grown, I talked to him, and I used to get New Testaments from him to give away. And he told me that he got that verse from R.G. Letourneau. That was a theme verse of R.G. Letourneau. And I'll never forget the power of that meeting as he was talking about giving yourself to God and then let God do what he wants to do with you. Take grace to do that. He'll take the grace of God. So, let's go one more verse down in verse 8. He said, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Over in 2 Corinthians in our text, verse number 7 said, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Now, I know that from my years as pastor that it's hard to preach on giving. It's hard to just. But you know what? If we would forget about our bank accounts and forget about our checkbooks and forget about our billfolds and begin to look at our heart before God, it would make it much simpler. Hey, he said, unless you have the grace of giving, you don't have giving. You may give a... I had a family in my church that had a business. And they were the biggest givers in our church. I went to my secretary one year, and she did our finances. She was the Judy McKinney of our church. And I said, you ought to get ready, because a big portion of our missions giving may go away. See, I'm of the opinion that once you give it, it's gone. You gave it. If you give it to control it, you didn't give it. And if you give it to be recognized, God said you've got all the reward you'll ever get. And I refuse to differentiate in the measure of the gifts. I know a man, and as some of you may have heard him, who is famous for taking the faith promise offering. I wouldn't let him do it in my church. I had him preach in my church, but I would not let him take the faith promise, because he did something like this. He looked at that card and he said, that's dessert. I'm going to lay that right over here. And then he'd go through some more cards. Oh, there's a whipped cream on top of the dessert. That's not it. That is not it. Hey, Jesus said that little woman who gave a mite, that's one-tenth of a penny. That little old woman who gave her least, he said, gave more than all the rest. Hey, you're not doing anything for God with your faith promise. You're not doing anything for God with your tithe. I was going to go there, but I'll just tell you. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 says, if you do not tithe, you're a God robber. All you have, to give to God, He gave you first. And He requires that tenth. If you don't give it, you just take it up with Him. It's a problem between you and Him. And you will answer for it, and you'll pay the price for it. I believe that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. These verses say, if you sow little, you're going to reap little. If you sow much, you'll reap much. So, I'm not even talking about tithes. It doesn't take grace to tithe. It just takes commitment. Well, anybody, I bet any fourth grade student in this church could figure out a tithe. If you can do a little bit of arithmetic, you can tithe. And you either do tithe or you become a God robber. That's the way it is. There's no limit. There's no ifs and ands on that. You can read Malachi 3:8 for yourself. But I want to talk about grace. I'm trying to talk about grace. I'm not going to the verses. But over in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, he says, church, take care of the things within your reach. And he talks about eating meat to idols. He talks about adulterous and fornication and all of that. And then he talks about and the man of God. Take care of the man of God. If he's giving you these spiritual things, don't you think he deserves your carnal things? That's what Paul said. So, I wouldn't preach that if I'd been the pastor, but I'm not the pastor, so here you are. That's stuff we could... Hey, we turn these lights on every week if we give our tithes. If we don't give our tithes, sooner or later the light bill won't get paid. Brother Jim's on the field as our pastor because we take care of him and provide for him. If we quit providing for him, he's going to have to go to work or do something. He's got to provide for his family. And Marcia eats a lot, so. I thank God for being a part of a church that takes care of the man of God.
Yes.
And pays the bills. And has a testimony in the community. Not for just this week, but for 50 years. Or whatever it is. But when you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, he's saying, church, you need to take care of the things that you can't reach. He's going to say over in chapter 10, if you just measure yourself with your measurements, you're nothing. I mean, I can reach so far, I can reach higher than most of you can. But when I reach as high as I can, and that big jet flies over at 25,000 feet, I'm still about 24,990 feet short, don't you see? Then he says, when you measure yourself, I think it's verse 12 and verse 13, chapter 10. He said, when you measure yourself with the measuring rod of God. I've already preached that here, so most of you understand it. God reaches where I never thought I could reach. God reaches to places I never thought I could affect. I remember the first time I went to Mexico and preached and how God blessed, and I just couldn't believe the number of folks got saved and the folks that stood outside the building looked through the windows and that little old place. I drove up to that place and the preacher said, Brother Wayne, can you pull right up here? I said, well, yeah. Rio Bravo, just across the border. I pulled up there. While I was pulling up there, I thought, man, they really honored the man of God around here. I had the number one parking place in the whole place. But before I got parked good, he said, can you pop your hood? I said, yeah, I popped the hood. And they came out the window with those clips and clipped it on my battery. And I run the lights for the service that night. But I went away from there with such a joy in my heart to have been where I never thought I'd be. Brother Bob, I was preaching. I told you the other night about the lady running off the street, running down into the... That meeting. I saw things that I had never seen, but I never dreamed I would see. I met a man that night who became a missionary out of our church. His kids still call me Grandpa, Awelo. They still... I mean, God did some stuff that I never thought I could ever experience. He reached further than I could reach. He took me further than I could go. It was the grace of God. There's no telling what He'd do with you if you just turn loose your rat hole. So, let's look at this. I want to look at the passage just a minute. The purpose of grace giving. I want to look at that just a minute. Now, in verse number 4 of chapter 8, he is talking about this Macedonian group up on the north end of the Greeks. And he says in verse 4, let's see, I got to find my text. Verse 4, he said, "You wit the grace of God." Verse 2, "How that they had trial of great affliction, abundance of their joy, the poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality." There he used the word liberality, he didn't use money. "For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." Look at this. "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift." What gift? Over in verse 5 of chapter 9, he said, "When I come, I want the offering made up so there'll be no offerings when I get there." He said, "Make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a manner of bounty, and not as of covetousness." What is that word bounty? Well, the dictionary says that bounty is a generous gift. I want to say it is the gift that is only provided by the grace of God. God's able to do with Metropolitan Baptist Church anything He wants to do. He labored in vain that built the church unless the Lord built it. He can do it, my friend. But it'll take the grace of God if we go where He wants us to go. We're going to have to turn ourselves loose. Did you hear the first verse of that song? He said it would take amazing grace if we carry that message around this world. We've come this far by grace, but we need new grace. So, ministry to the saints. Chapter 9, verse 1, he said, "As touching the ministry of the saints, it's superfluous for me to write to you." If you read those first 5 verses of chapter 9, let me just describe my take on the situation. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 said, they had all things common. You know that. And no man had any... Barnabas brought his stuff. Ananias and Sapphira got in trouble when they lied about it. They didn't have grace. They tried to do something they could do. Barnabas is a picture of grace. He gave and God gave back to him. Hey, Mark became profitable to Saul, Paul, only because of the grace of God that was in Barnabas. No telling the effect that Barnabas had on that Eastern world. We don't have a record. But it was a grace gift. And they gave to each other. Because the church was in trouble now, Acts chapter 8, they're scattered all over that part of the world. And the church, hey, you think about that. That church with 3,000 plus and 5,000 plus suddenly is scattered. And the apostles are there trying to minister to some folks through a church that's just a hull of what it used to be. And Paul has been led of God to stir up the hearts of those churches out here in the Middle Asia that he is in Macedonia, down in Corinth. And a year ago, if I read it right, a year ago, Corinth said, "Hey, we're going to give a big gift. We're going to give a bountiful gift. We're going to give a gift of grace." That's all we're doing today. That's all we're going to do today. Just God, you don't have to put your name on that card. You don't have to put anything on that card. But this church will determine what she does for the next year and by the grace of God, what happens here by grace today. Corinth said, "We will." If you read those first five verses of chapter 9, they didn't. He said, "Your zeal was a great testimony to this whole part of the world. And Macedonia went into action because you said you would. And now you haven't, so I'm sending Titus over there to collect the offering. So when I get there, I won't be embarrassed and God won't be wanting because you said you would, but you did not." That's the way I read it, anyway. So, the purpose was to minister to the saints. I've got some verses, but I'm going to go on. And, you know, we got the idea that when we give to missions, all day long with my rat hole money, I kept thinking about what was going to happen to me. And finally I decided that his need was more important than my need. And when I gave it by the grace of God, guess what happened? He had offerings. Later on I preached for him and went down to his mission and helped build some buildings and stuff. He had some means. He wasn't destitute. My $100 didn't fix or hinder him one way or the other. But I tell you what happened. When he drove off, and 40 years later, God still did something in my heart that I can't get away from. I've got those kids that call me a waylo because God gave me grace that night. God did something there that I can't measure with a measuring stick. I can't tell you. There's folks all over North Mexico and up in even there's a mission over in no, it's not a mission, it's a church over in Henderson, Texas. One of the first year that I met that missionary who became my missionary. One of the first years I preached for him, Brother Cuco got saved. Brother Cuco was a backward baker. He had a bakery. He was so bashful and he'd tremble if you talked to him. But Brother Cuco became the song leader. I remember one time he was so scared. I remember one time going and getting an interpreter and going talking to Cuco, telling him how much Brother Juan needed him to just leave the scene. He became the Bible school king of Matamoros. They had a trailer that they pulled around all over the communities and they'd pull into a community and old Cuco would begin to sing his songs. He had some great songs. He could talk about the little fishies going and he just did all that kind of stuff. He'd get you going if you was in the service. Amen. Our people, we carried them down there year after year. They began to look to Cuco. They wanted to hear Cuco lead those songs. My capitan. He would sing those songs and stir hearts. Amen. And after a while he began to teach a little bit. Now he's the pastor in Henderson, Texas. Hey, God, that was the grace of God. Susie will talk to you about it. I told her, first time I went to preach for Brother Juan, I said, I'm not going to stay in that Mexican's house. She said, "Well, where are you going to stay?" I said, "They got hotels. I'll stay in a hotel." You know, I got trapped. Down at Alice, Texas, out there in the middle of the desert. Everything out there's got thorns and sticks and, and sand and desert, I had to pull off the side of the road, get out beside my car. God so convicted me. I had the money in my pocket to pay my hotel when I went down there. But God so broke my heart, I said, I will stay there. Long story short, we got there just late. I'd already loaned my car to another Mexican preacher who was preaching up in the valley somewhere. He was going to bring it back to me. I was over there in that Africa they call Matamoros. I mean, I could see the lions jumping out everywhere. But Brother Bruce, after the service that night, they had that fiesta. And I finally said, Brother Juan, where am I going to stay? I give it to God now. He said, come with me, brother. And his wife got up and she said, we want to show you. Later on, she called me Daddy. She'd say, Daddy, go to your room. You need a rest. They had a new bathroom built. Had hot water in the house. They had an air conditioner in the wall. They had carpet on the floor of that room. They had a new bed, but they couldn't get it across the bridge. Had bought it over in Brownsville, couldn't get it. Hey, if I would have stayed in my measure, I'd have missed it all. If I had not let the grace of God do something in my heart, I stayed that week. I couldn't understand what they were saying. They couldn't understand a lot of what I was saying. He was the only English speaker in the house. That little three-year-old Anna would come sit at the table while I was trying to study my messages, and she'd chatter, chatter, chatter. I got to calling her a chipmunk, and she still thinks she's a little chipmunk. She's grown and got kids of her own now. I'm talking about the grace of God. Missionary, you're not going over there to be above the people. You're going over there to be part of them. And if you don't do that, you won't ever reach them. But if you do it, God will give you grace. He said it's not just about them, but it's about us. He said, verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. If we sung, Oh, How I Love Jesus this morning, you could sing it at the top of your lungs. But, honey, the proof is in the pudding. It's not what you say, but it's what you do that counts. And what we're about this morning is proving the sincerity of your love. It'll take the grace of God, but He's got grace. So, then there's the principle. There's two examples in this passage. There's the example in chapter 8. There's the example of the Macedonian. I'll talk about them in a minute. But there's the example of Christ. Look at verse number 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord. I have puzzled and pondered over that verse. How could the God of all need grace? How could He? But He said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich. An example of grace. Our Savior, when he made Himself a servant and was made in the likeness of men and humbled Himself and became obedient unto the death of the cross, the grace of God given to Him. He could have called 10,000 angels by the grace of God. He hung on that cross and died for you and me. The example of Christ. I could go a little further, but I'm going to go on. Then there's the example in the Christians, or of the Christians. Look at these verses in the first part of this chapter. Verse number 2 says that in great trial, they gave in their trial of affliction. Somebody said, Brother Wayne, don't you know the stock market's floundering and our economy's a... Hey, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all the taters under the hills. He's got ability to do... Hey, I'm an evangelist. I travel. That $5 gas scares me to death. But you know what? I bought gas yesterday for $3.07. God did it. I didn't do it. God did it. It's the grace of God. He supplied enough that I can get down the road. Brother Bruce travels more than anybody I know, and he's still supplying, isn't he, Brother Bruce? He takes care of every need. He's always there. He's always able. So in their great trial of affliction, God gave grace, and they were able to give. Look at verse 2 again. And in their joy, they gave in their joy. They weren't, you know, they were, you've seen those guys that squeeze that nickel till the buffalo squeals? I'm one of them. But they gave out of the joy of their heart. Verse number 2 says, and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Now, brother, there's only one way they could give in the deep poverty. It's the amazing grace of God. God gave grace in their poverty for their giving. So he said, don't witness Macedonia, but witness the grace of God in them. Verse 3. Verse 3 says, they gave to their own power, their own ability. I want to say, to the enabling grace of God. They gave. Then he says, I bear record, and yea, beyond their power. When you get even in poverty, they might be able to give an offering. But if they give beyond their ability, beyond their power to give, how'd they do that? Not by anything this world can do. They did it by the grace of God. The abounding. Over in verse 7 he said, therefore as you abound in everything, abound in this grace also. They abounded in the grace of God and were able, even in their beyond themselves. Some of you missionaries could tell stories. Brother Tom could tell about the Hmong people. The largest independent Baptist church in Thailand, built in a prison, built out of barbed wire and bamboo by prisoners in a prison camp. And God saved week after week after and built. And now they've scattered all over Laos carrying the gospel. Grace of God. It's the only answer you can give. Verse number three says, they were willing of themselves. I read that book to the Golden Shore. Adoniram Judson was a star student up there at Harvard or Yale or Princeton or one of those schools when it was still a preacher school. Every one of them were preacher schools. Every one of those were gospel preaching schools. And he had two buddies. One of them was Luther Rice, and I don't know who the other one was. They laid out under the haystack in a thunderstorm. Some of you have read the story. And they said, if we'll do it, we can. They were talking about missions. Nobody was doing missions. William Carey had went to India, but there was no missionary from America. And they said, if we'll do it, we can do it. Let me say this, Dust Church. If we will do it, we can do it. That verse said, the grace of God enabled their willingness. If you want, nobody can make you do it. Well, I'm not going to give for that. I'm not giving. Well, dry, shrivel up, and blow away. But if you want the grace of God, when He says do, you better do. They were willing, and God blessed them, even in their deep well of their poverty. He can do that for us. He can do that. See, verse number 7 of chapter 8, of chapter 9 says, every man as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God's able to make all grace abound toward you. The performance of their giving, verse 11, the readiness of their mind, verse 12, the release of their money, it's accepted in according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. Verse 7 says, God loves a cheerful giver, the joy that is released by our giving. The production of grace giving, everybody gives proportionally. 9:6 says, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Last spring I went down to Walmart to get some Bermuda seed because we had bare spots in our lawn. Bermuda seed was $7 a sack for a little sack. I got to looking around there and there was one that said mixed seeds, $3. You done this, Brother Bob? He's a tightwad too. So I took my mixed seed for $3, and all summer long we've been planting it in the bare spots. And now we got ryegrass that jumps up about so tall, and it's just scattered here and there. You know what I did? I sowed sparingly. And now I'm reaping sparingly. I don't have Bermuda covering my bare spots. The bare spots are still there with a few sprigs of ryegrass sticking up. Hey, you want your bare spots covered, sow out of a cheerful heart.
Amen.
Give willingly. God will give back to you. Proportional. Let me just give you this example I wrote down. I liked it. DeKalb. Foremost corn producer in the United States. DeKalb has got a seed developed now that one seed of corn produces at one stalk and 6 ears on a stalk. Every ear will produce 800 kernels. That's 4,800 kernels came off of one stalk, one seed. I just did a little arithmetic. If you plant them, if you plant 4,800 kernels, and they produce 4,800 kernels, you'll have 23,040,000 kernels the next year. That's what he said in Psalm 126:6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, and bringing not seed but sheaves with him. The multiplying principle. God does give plentifully. I've got verse 7, verse 9, verse 15, verse chapter 9, verse 8, chapter 9, verse 14. Listen to 14. I hadn't read this one yet. And for by their prayer for you, that's those mission folks. That's those Hmong people in Laos. That's those Mexicans down in Mexico. That's those Latin Americans over there in Honduras. That's those folks in Brazil, Miss Dorothy. That by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. There's nothing, Lord, nothing in my hand to bring simply to the cross, I claim. There's nothing good about us. There's nothing that we have to give that God needs. And if we give it, we haven't added anything to God. But when we give it, just mark her down, God has done something on our account that will last. The grace of giving. I know some people don't even like to come to Mission Conference because we're going to talk about giving. You better get a hold to it. When you get over there in Harris County Hospital, we had a Harris County down in Houston. When you go to Harris, up there on that kidney transplant, there's not but one thing that'll keep you. And that's the yourself, me, I'll give to you exceeding abundantly above anything you could think or ask.
Amen.
By the grace of God. Stand. Father, I pray, God, that you'd have your way with us this morning. Help us to get out of ourselves and look to you. Help us to yield ourselves over to what you'd like to do in us. Please take charge. Please work. Please direct in all that we do here this morning. Help us to pray. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to search your will. Help us to surrender to what you tell us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Page 350.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me.
Every one of these missionaries have surrendered to go. Missionary, as you go, it'll be God's grace that carries you. As you go, it'll be God's grace that keeps you. As you go, it'll be God's grace that blesses your ministry. Church, we might not be called to go, but above ourselves and outside of what we can do, we are called to the grace of God. To be kept by the grace of God. To surrender. You say, well, I don't know what God's going to do this next year. I might get laid off. But God of grace, Abel, no matter what He does this next year. Every year I tell Susie, well, we've given as much as we can give. And every year we have that little conference, and she says, what about? And I say, well, we'll trust Him one more year. You know, He hadn't failed yet. In all His years, He's never failed. I wish I had time to tell you stories about those kids who rode our bus and sold Rice Krispie snacks out there in the foyer of the church on Sunday morning so they could give a grace offering. Went into church in Austin, and that little boy came out of the bathroom. His hands were black. I said, son, didn't you wash your hands? He said, yes, sir. I said, well, what are you doing in there? He said, I was shining shoes. I said, in the bathroom? He said, yes, sir. I said, what are you doing that for? He said, so I can give my faith promise offering. That's been several years ago. I imagine that boy's on the mission field somewhere himself by now.
Yeah.
Have you got any grace in your life? You living by grace or are you just living by arithmetic? Which is it? Gets pretty dry and dusty on that arithmetic. But if you can know the grace of God, that's grace, wonderful grace. marvelous grace, keeping grace, new grace, amazing grace. You could just get in on grace. It's a new life over here on the grace side. I sure do wish you'd get in on it. Sing this verse.
Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him all the way. I'll go with Him through the garden. I'll go with Him through the garden. I'll go with Him through the garden. I'll go with Him. With Him all the way. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him all the way. I'll go with Him through the judgment. I'll go with Him through the judgment. I'll go with Him through the judgment. I'll go with Him all the way. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him. With Him all the way.
Amen, church. You can be seated. It's by grace all the way. Today in December 1974, God visited a little old trailer house in Vienna, Ohio. Got a hold of a ridge runner, as my dad called us, by the name of Jim Turner. Changed everything. Along the way, God just continued to work by His grace. Grow us, teach us, show us that He's God. He's able, as long as we're obedient to Him. So it's as pastor, it falls to me to take up this faith promise offering, and I'm going to ask our ushers to come, take these cards, and distribute them through the. You guys shuffle these up. Distribute them through the congregation, and what this offering is for Metropolitan Baptist Church. You call Metropolitan Baptist Church your home. This offering is for you today. A little bit ago in the middle of service, you know, I've been praying for weeks what God was going to have us do for the coming year. And I got one, brother. I made sure I got one. And I kept arguing like I always do. Well, Lord, you know, I've been giving generous as I could, Lord, you know. You know what I've been doing. You know what Marcia and I have been setting aside for faith promise. And I think this is a year, Father, we'll just go ahead and coast on through, and we'll just keep giving what we've been given. Did you ever have that go have that argument with God, Brother Wayne? Well, then, a few days ago, got into conference, and I said, well, I guess I could do a little more, Lord. I can do a little more. And then I was sitting back there a little bit ago as Brother Wayne was preaching, and I wrote a couple numbers down on a piece of paper, and I'm going to reach it over there to show Marcia. Appreciate her and that. I just showed her. I wrote the two numbers down. I said, last year and this year. And she just said, okay. No argument, no fussing, no nothing. Of course, what's she going to do in church? She's got to behave herself. But it's a matter of prayerful faith. I don't ever want folks to do something out of emotions. We get all fired up and we're going to do this or that. You don't want to do that, folks. You want to be prayerfully obedient in faith. As God impress you what you do for Him in the coming year for missions. And so, as you see, there's just a blank line there and those two boxes underneath, whether it's weekly or monthly, if you want to scratch that out and put yearly or something, that's fine too. The guys will get their calculator out and figure it out later. But please, there's no place for your name. This is something you do between you and the Lord. And then it enables us as a church family to be able to sort out whether we can take on, adopt some of these missionary families that are with us this week to become part of that reaching where we can't reach. And so that's why we do this. It's a covenant between you and the Lord, covenant between me and God. And so I just challenge you, prayerfully, by grace, obey the Lord. I used my handmade pen by Chris Strive. Here, you see that, Brother Chris? Amen. All right. We're going to ask the men prepare to collect those cards. I guess they used to, everybody just come down and put them on the table or something here, and that's fine. But you know, I found out you're going to do what you ought to do because God tells you to do, not because you have to get up and come do it. So you just obey the Lord and do what He'd have you to do. Brother Gerardo. Father, we pray this morning that You would help us to do right. Be obedient in what You'd have for us. Lord, by grace, we trust You. By faith, we go with You. And I know that Metropolitan Baptist Church, for decades, has been a church that cared about missions. Might the fruit of that care, that compassion, that involvement carry on. Lord, we want to be faithful to You till Jesus comes. We want to give You glory. We want to give You honor. We want to be part of what You're doing. Thank You for what we've heard today concerning grace. Surely spoke to my heart. I trust this all. We receive this offering, Father, for Your glory, not our own. Not for this church's glory. For Your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. just stood there kind of surveying, looking at y'all. And I love you. I love you. Just thankful to be here and be part of you. Be your pastor. Started Wednesday night talking about missions revival. Had a touch of that this week, I believe. It's been a good week. So thankful for your faithfulness and being here. Regardless of what the total on those cards comes out, I know that God is going to do great and tremendous and beautiful things days ahead. And pray for souls. We need to be doing our part in this missions thing and reaching folks for Jesus. Let's stand together. We're going to go have some fellowship around the table. Even got round tables to do it around. And I'm going to go ahead and pray and ask the blessing. And we'll make our way through the hallway here back to the fellowship hall and enjoy that time. And the fellows are going to get the total of those cards for us along the way here. And I want to challenge you to this. As we sit in the back, we're not going to come back to the auditorium. We're going to just have a few moments with the Lord back in the gym. But you'd probably be praying about something you might want to share with your brothers and sisters in Christ. When you've heard good preaching all week, I always believe it's a good thing to give folks opportunity to respond to that. So if you've got a word of testimony you want to share later on, you can be forewarned, okay? Father, we bow before you. We thank you for Jesus today. Oh, my Lord, how can we begin? How can we begin to tell you how much we appreciate what you've done through us or for us? We're thankful that Christ was willing to die that grisly, awful, bloody death to pay the price of our redemption. And as we would gather as the body of Christ that's called Metropolitan Baptist Church, we consider it a great privilege and a great honor to be part of your purposes and your plan. Consider it a great privilege, Father, to represent our Savior in this lost and dying world. Father, I'm praying that in these days you would help us, Father. Help us to be an impact in this world for you. Lord, break our hearts over the lost and their need of the Lord Jesus. We'll give you, Father, as you would return those grace gifts to us in the form of precious, precious souls, we'll be quick, we'll be ready to give you the glory, all the glory, Father. Lord, we thank you for what we've heard today, the faithfulness of your servant. Pray, Father, that as we go on into the time of fellowship and rejoicing around the table, that you would as well go there with us. Thank you for the food you provided. Your abundance to us is again a measure of your great grace. Thank you, Lord. Might you pronounce your blessing on all that's gone on here this morning. Father, please, my heart, my mind goes to my friend. Brother Joe, please do for him too. Grant that special grace, that new grace for him and his dear family as well. We love you. Thank you in Jesus' lovely name for your love for us. Amen. Amen. Let's eat.